We've said here before that Luke wrote two volumes, the Gospel and Acts of the Apostles. And the Gospel he uses to show how the eternal Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, was present in Jesus. And the second volume, Acts of the Apostles, he intends to show how that same eternal Son of the Father is present in the church. And so today, on the Feast of Ascension, we always have these two readings together, the conclusion of the Gospel and the first verses of Acts, and they're both about the Ascension, which tells us that the Ascension is really key in the transition between Jesus and the church. So the Ascension is so significant because when the Son was present in Jesus of Nazareth, he was limited by space and time. It was first century Palestine, and he was a man and not a woman. So there's certain limitations to his incarnation. When you take on humanity, you take on the limits of humanity as well. But then in his resurrection and ascension, all of those limitations are lifted, and he is Lord of all, Lord of the cosmos. And that's that second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, that this risen Lord has become King of the universe. He is Lord of all, above the powers and dominions and principalities. He's above everything. And he's available to every generation, to all peoples, for all time. So the Spirit is mentioned over and over again in these two readings, and in fact, I've never actually counted, but I would guess in the Acts of the Apostles, 3/4 of the mention of the Spirit in the New Testament are in the Acts, because Luke is so intent on the power of the Spirit forming the church and joining the church to its head. And so Paul makes this reference to the head and the body. And whenever we celebrate liturgy, we're celebrating the whole Christ. It's the whole Christ who celebrates the Mass, head and members. Because the head is here this morning too. It's not just his body. And when we witness, the word witness comes up 3 or 4 times in those readings today. Because the church's mission is primarily about witness. Witnessing to the resurrection. Now, all through this Easter season, we've been sort of reflecting on what it means to be living the risen life, the resurrected life. And one of the principal things that's about is witnessing. So we witness by our words, we witness by our prayer. The gospel reading ended by saying that after his ascension, they went back to Jerusalem and they were worshiping in the temple daily. So prayer, the gathering of the church in prayer is a big part of that witness. So what we're doing here now is witnessing to the resurrection. We don't always think about that, but that's really what we're doing. And when we get sent out into the world, we're witnessing to the resurrection. We're witnessing by our lives and by our actions that we believe that we are sharing in the risen body of Christ. Sometimes people get the wrong impression about Christians because we don't seem very happy. We don't seem like we're living the resurrected life. We don't seem all that different from the rest of the world. Now, if you want to be negative, there's plenty in our world to be negative about. I mean, we hear about it on the news all the time. But we're celebrating Christ's presence. And if we have the presence of the risen Lord, then that in some way changes everything. It changes our attitude about life. It says that life and the world and destiny is on our side. That all is not lost, despite all the evidence of tragedy and sin and alienation and all those things that are extant in our world. That's all true, but we still believe that God is on our side. and that Christ is present somehow in his body, the church. He's present in us. And so we live our lives in the hope of our share in his ascension and in his glory. That reading ends, "This one who has been taken from you will return just as you saw him going up into the heavens." So we live our lives in the tension between the already and the not yet of the kingdom. The already is God was incarnate in Jesus and has sent his Spirit to enliven our hearts and make us members of his body. But the other thing is we look forward to the end times. And those two extremes, the first and the final comings of Christ, collapse into today. And we're celebrating both of those right now. We're celebrating Christ's incarnation, his death and resurrection and sending of the Spirit, and we're celebrating his glory at the right hand of the Father and our share in that glory that's already in some way realized in the present moment. And we celebrate that sacramentally by eating his body and drinking his blood, by becoming one with him, in absolute communion with him, in a way that's only sacramental now, but this is the sacrament of the realized kingdom to come.